If you've got a Bible, close it. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate this opportunity. I love the sight of looking at all the faces out there. You see, I am associated with a little church. In fact, we couldn't get all this crowd in there. I'd have to rent a building to... But I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad to be here. I appreciate Brother Steve and the work that he does, and I appreciate you and your support of him. I want to talk to you this morning about whatever comes as I go along. I want to talk to you about the fact that the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Please join me in prayer. Our Father, we're glad to be here. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you delivered him up and gave him to die for us. We pray that thou bless us as we study the scripture this morning, as we meditate on the things of thy word. And we pray that that which is done here will honor you and bring praise and glory to you. For Christ's sake, amen. I want to talk to you about the Lord. Is this something that I shouldn't erase? I don't know what. There's like two wheels. Everything has to have wheels on it, don't it? Anymore. The Bible says, and I'm not, don't worry about where it says, whatever I talk about. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is not a just person. I'm changing a word there, but I hope you'll bear with me. The Bible says there's not a just man. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Woe is you. As the person might say out there on the street today, folks, we're in a hell of a mess. None good, not one person is good. Paul said, my mind is carnal. The thoughts are carnal. He said, my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've wondered a lot of times about people who use a phrase, and I've wondered if they read that out of the Bible. You ever hear somebody say, if I know my heart, so and so? Well, you don't. Your heart is wicked above all things and desperately evil. There's none good, no, not one. There's not one just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And to be blank with this, somebody was quoting up here before, you aren't worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow you into hell. in your flesh dwells no good thing. And you're bad. You are bad to the bone. Say, well, Brother Moore, isn't there anything good that you could say about us? Not as a natural human being, I couldn't. But I can say there are some people in here that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Christ in you that have trusted Him is your hope of glory. And for you people in here, if that be the case, that have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at this point in time, you have no hope of glory. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I want you to understand, there isn't anything good about you. You're not any good. Your mom and daddy weren't any good. Your grandma and grandpa weren't any good. And I hate to say this, but your children aren't either. We're in a mess. And it ain't getting no better. You say, well, I'm going to change all that. No, you're not. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So if you begin to work righteousness with an aim that you're going to get saved, you're just going to end up in hell. You can't do it. So God had mercy on us. And He sent His Son into the world. And you know what? Jesus Christ did not come into this world to teach you. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you. When I think about it, seriously think about it, and I think what He went through. You know, Jesus Christ went out to a certain garden and He prayed. And while He was praying, the Bible said that His sweat became as great drops of blood, and of course they fell to the ground. Jesus Christ got down on His face. Are you listening? He got down on His face, flat on His belly, and right in front of Him was a cup. That cup contained our sins. And He said, Father, if there's any way that you can figure out, we're talking about speaking to God Almighty, the Creator of all things. And so He said, in effect, if you know of a way, if you can figure out a way, if you can fix this thing here, laying there on His belly, right in front of Him, was a cup. And in that cup was your sins. And He went there with the idea of drinking that. And you know what He's doing? He's saying, God, if there is a way to save one of those people in Chattanooga without me drinking that, will you please do it? God, let this cup pass from me. all the pretty speeches about Jesus Christ, all the things that men say about Him up to that point is of no value. All His teaching, say, well, I'm following His teaching. If that's all you got, you're going to end up in hell. So He saw your life, He saw your sins, He saw everything about you in that cup. And He said, oh God, if it's possible, let this thing pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He's saying, if you can find a way to save Jerry Sanders, if you can find a way to save Steve Atwood, E.C. Moore, anybody in Chattanooga, Tennessee, without me drinking this cup, God, please do it. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. You know what it came down to? If Jesus Christ didn't drink that cup, if He didn't turn Himself over to wicked men that carried Him to a place and nailed Him to a cross, if that didn't take place, everybody in this building would have ended up in hell. There would have been no point in coming here. There would have been no point in meeting here. There would have been no point in singing any song. There would have been no point in anybody even writing those songs. What am I talking about? I'm talking about every single thing that has been done in Chattanooga pertaining to this place right here is because Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross died for our sins, and we met here to talk about it. Men came here to preach it and spread it out in front of everybody else and fix it so there'd be no mistake about it that to get to heaven there's one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou should be saved. Think about it. I bet you're not thinking about it. Jesus Christ lay on His belly out there in that garden and He prayed, oh God, if it's possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And God, in effect, said, there's no other way. All of your self-righteous deeds, all of your religious service, deacons. What's a female deacon? Deaconess. Deaconesses. All of those things just went down the drain without Jesus Christ dying on Calvary. What are you, some kind of an idiot? There must be some way that you can find an answer to that. When you figure out whatever kind of an idiot I am, let me know. But don't accuse me of being an idiot because I preach Jesus Christ to you. I know people today that don't preach. They preach, But they don't preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They preach, be good. They preach, work righteousness. God is going to weigh your good deeds against your bad. And if your good deeds outweigh the bad, then you can go to heaven, they preach. But if your bad deeds get the advantage, you can't go. Well, listen to me. You don't have any good deeds that can be weighed against Jesus Christ dying on Calvary. There isn't anything you can figure out. There isn't a way that you can figure out to get to heaven without trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can see Him now laying there on the ground in that garden. The Bible said that He went out to a garden and went in there. And eventually He ends up, He's on His face, He's laying on the ground there and He's praying. And in front of Him is that cup. And He said, Father, if it's possible, and I'm paraphrasing, I guess, I'm adding some things to what He said. If it's possible to save any of those people in Chattanooga, Tennessee, without me drinking that cup, do it, please. Are you thinking about what I'm thinking about? Jesus Christ is talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. And He's saying in effect, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God made Him to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But you can't do it. You can't have it. God can't even do it. Say, well, He's all powerful. He isn't powerful enough to save your miserable, never-dying soul. He isn't powerful enough to change your vile body, change your heart, do everything that has to be done to get you in heaven. He is not powerful enough to save you after having delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ to die on Calvary if you reject Him. Say, well, I got better sense than that. If you think you got better sense than that, you're a dummy. The Bible said there is none good, no, not one. There is not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If there is none good, if there is one person good, and you have to be good to get to where God is, I'm saying if, then no one can go. And so I'm going to say, I'm going to draw a line here. And I'm going to say that this line represents the foundation of the world. I believe with all my heart that before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit met. And they sat down and they talked about it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The triune God. And they said, well, there are people in Chattanooga, Tennessee that aren't any good. But that isn't all. There are people that are going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. They're going to meet together up there. How are we going to handle that? One of them might have said, well, we could tell them to be good. And the problem is, according to our Bible, there is none good. We could tell them to shed some blood. So they started out. And people offered blood sacrifices. Y'all know about Cain and Abel, don't you? I can see in my mind's eye a place where they were carried to worship. And so Abel, I believe, was walking along there after his sacrificial offering had been finished. He had built his altar there. He'd killed the lamb, put it on the altar. The blood was running off. And he's looking, and he gets to Cain's place. And there's this altar set up out there. And Cain has the works of his own hands there. I imagine there was fruit. Maybe apples, oranges, grapes. I don't know. Maybe some turnips. Maybe that's the origination of the idea you can't get blood out of a turnip. I mean, I know so little. And I know about turnips. And so I believe that Abel's walking along there and he sees that. And he's saying to himself, what is he doing? He knows better than that. Our daddy has brought us out here day after day. We've been out here. We've seen this. We've done this before. What's he doing? Oh, I know what he's doing. He's a farmer. He doesn't have these sacrifices. He's offered vegetables on there. Ah. And so he runs to his place. And he puts these sheep. He separates them out. And then he separates them out. And then he separated out. And then he separates them. And finally he gets down to one little lamb. He takes that lamb up in his arms and he starts off and he gets to the place over there and he said, but wait a minute. If I just put this thing down over there, my brother he isn't going to do anything. He'll walk away. And so he cuts its throat and lays it at the altar there and goes on his way. Cain comes out there. He sees Abel's altar set up. He comes over there and there is his right in front of his tent door. And he says, wait a minute. My brother has been led by our daddy to the extent that he thinks there ain't no other way around this. And he just steps over that bleeding lamb. And kneels at his altar. And he begins to pray to God, the Creator, and pleading that his sins would be taken away. When Abel did that, Abel knelt beside his altar in front of it there, and he begins to pray, and wham! Lightning strikes! Boom! And fire hits that sacrificial offering and burns it to a crisp. And the odor of that burning flesh comes up. But he goes over here, and there's his altar with his vegetables. And so he kneels down and he poses. Puts his little hands up there with his manicured nails. And he gets down there and he asks God to accept his sacrifice. And he waits for the lightning. He waits for the fire. But there ain't none. There's not even a cloud in the sky. Everything is gone. And there is his vegetables, apples and oranges and turnips. Nothing about what he's got there satisfies the Creator of heaven and earth. And so then he gets angry. He got angry with God. Why would God take Abel's sacrifice and reject mine? The answer, blood. B-L-O-O-D. Blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I might give an offer, give a altar call here. Get somebody come up here and play this piano. Somebody play the organ over here. And at the sound of the music, everybody come up here and kneel at this altar and begin to pray. But your praying at this altar won't get it. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Your praying ain't gonna get it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Your prayers, all the things that you do, the offerings that you make, is dead. The only salvation for anybody in this room has to do with the blood that was shed by the man on Calvary. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You want to be saved? Then trust Jesus Christ right now. Right where you are there. In your mind, in your heart. Believe on Christ. Receive Him. Claim Him. You don't have to get up. You don't have to stand up, lay down, kneel down. Believe on Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. You can do that. Why, you've driven down the highway at 80 and 90 miles an hour in heavy traffic. and you're thinking about something that's happened at the office and this and that and the other, you can think, well, right now in your mind, see Jesus Christ on Calvary dying for you. Right in your mind. And in doing so, claim Him. In your heart, claim Him, trust Him, and be saved today. There isn't any cause for you to go out of this building lost. If there is, I'm the reason. I probably just failed to get the point across. I'm pretty dumb. I'm just an old country boy from down in Alabama. I know about turnip greens and collard greens and gardens and apples and oranges and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I remember when I would have been glad to just get an orange for Christmas. I bet I'm talking to some people and you don't know anything about that. I bet your children get expensive toys at Christmas time. I've seen the time that my daddy fell on a T-model Ford and drove. I didn't know what he was doing at that time. He drove to crossroads 3 miles south of our home and bought some little trinkets. And he gave me a knife. He gave me a pocket knife that you could bend the blade in. Didn't have any money. But you know what? I was just as proud of that little pocket knife as I would have been if it had been a John Primble. Y'all don't know what John Primble is. The man of the company that made pocket knives. You know, one of the funniest things to me. My daddy was a man. He's a great man. He really was. I never heard him cuss. And so he was teaching us to shoot a .22 rifle. He had a board put up, leaned up, and so he had this John Primble knife, and if you want to know about that, you look it up when you get home. And so he put this knife up there with the sharp edge of the blade facing him, and he shot that and split it. In other words, he'd shoot the cutting edge of that blade, and the bullet would split, and the reason for having it against that board, you could see that one part of the bullet went in one side, the other part the other side. And we're all so proud, you know, everything. And he's showing us exactly how to do this. And just about the time that he pulled that trigger, that pocket knife turned. It just sort of fell. And it broke the blade in 3 pieces. I thought my daddy was going to cry. Come on, that was his pride and joy. My daddy wore overalls. Some of y'all call them overalls. I never knew mine. I know what it is when you overhaul something. My daddy wore overalls, and he cared knife in his pocket all the time. He was a farmer. And when that knife blade broke, we laughed. My daddy didn't laugh. When he didn't laugh, we didn't anymore. We just sort of snuck off. But you know, there's one thing about my daddy. He was saved. Our house, where I was raised, had four columns across a front porch. There was a screen door there that led into a hallway. And down that hallway, on the other end, on the right, was the kitchen and the dining room. And then there were bedrooms, four bedrooms, down that hallway. And my daddy, to illustrate the kind of man he was, there was a pantry room from the kitchen. And there was to be a day of the year. The house faced the west. And there'd be a day that the sun would shine down the hallway to that wall on the other end of the back porch, screened in porch. And my daddy would write upon there the date that the sun shined back there. He sat at the desk. He had a diary, and he wrote in the diary. And one day, after he died, my mother was still living. I believe it was in 1973. The house burned to the ground. What I wouldn't give for one of those guys. But it wasn't meant to be. It all burned. And so one day I came to the realization what my daddy wrote in this diary was not going to get it done. What the Lord wrote in that old 66 called the King James. That's what mattered. If I wanted to know how to live, I couldn't look in my daddy's diary and find out. But I could look in an old King James Bible. And I might not be able to live accordingly, but I could see a Savior in that. Amen. God told you about a Savior. The Savior's name is Jesus Christ. The word Jesus is Jehovah, Savior. Just in case you didn't know that. In other words, a woman conceived by the Holy Ghost and gave birth to a son and named that son Jehovah Savior. And Jehovah Savior took a cross made for you on his shoulder and went struggling along to a hill called Calvary. Up Calvary's hill that dark fatal day walked Christ my Savior as they led him away. Upon his bleeding back, my cross he bore, unveiling God's love to the world evermore. Jesus Christ bore your cross. It was designed for you. Criminals were put to death on the cross. What is a criminal? Somebody that doesn't obey the law. You haven't obeyed God's law. And the guru. You thought, oh, I'm going to get that out, didn't you? Jesus Christ took your place.
since you couldn't fulfill all those things. You failed. I was just thinking about the Pope. I mentioned it. There's none good. There's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What you got going good for you? Jesus Christ, that's what we think. There ain't nothing else. You want to tell the Lord about your good stuff? You want to boast? You want to get out on your knees at an altar somewhere and boast to God? Thank you, God, that I'm not as other men are. I fast X number of times in the week, and I do this, and I do that, and I do that. And God is saying, shut up! You know what that is? That's a slander on God Almighty. After Him giving His Son Calvary, after Him turning the Lord Jesus Christ over to evil, wicked men that nailed Him to a cross, and you pray to God about your goodness, you've got to be kidding me. Sure, you're not that dumb. If you had a precious son, and you had a neighbor with an evil, wicked, mean little boy that stole from you and everything else, you wouldn't want to give your little boy to die for that miserable, wicked little rascal, would you? Well, God Almighty gave His precious son for these evil, wicked, miserable brats in here. And I'm not talking about your children, I'm talking about you. You ain't no good, your mom and daddy weren't no good, and the Bible says there are none that are good. There's nothing you can count and say, God, this is what I've got to offer. You want to offer God something that He'll bless? Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, right where you are. Don't leave here without it. The Lord will save you today. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege to be here. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of life that is ours through Him. If there's somebody here that has not trusted You, then at this particular moment, I pray that they'll be convicted and convinced that they need Jesus Christ more than they need food, clothing, housing, or anything. And may they, right now, right where they are, receive You, claim You, trust You, and be saved today for Christ's sake. Amen.